back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Costas Inn. We're in Dundalk, MD, established here in 1971. I was established here in 1968. Stan's a little older than me. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Matter of fact, I'm going to get Maggie to bring some crab cakes in this segment. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We have a $2 winner here at Costas in the back. So I got the, not three cheers, but two cheers back there. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. If I weren't sitting with the principal at Dundalk High, I would put the wacky hat on, but I don't want to look like the class clown around here. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I get my oil changed at the Jiffy Lube, I should say it right, oil. I get my oil changed at Jiffy Lube at Merritt Boulevard. Everybody's nice to me over there, and I appreciate that. Pete and everyone at MediaWorks and everybody for the sponsorship as well. And Leonard Raskin, Raskin Global, empowering people to choose their financial future. He joins us each and every week. Luke is in Owings Mills. We got football going on. We have mini buys, real buys, LA games, figgy pudding, turkey, stuffing, gravy, all that stuff going on. And I'm going to be at Pappas next week in Parkville, first stop there. We're going to be at Coco's in Lauraville. We're going to be at Gertrude's at the BMA with Dan Rodericks on the 30th of the month. And then we are at Hollywood Casino in Perryville on the 1st, State Fair in Catonsville on the 5th, and Far and Daughter and Curio Wellness. I just did a cannabis facility tour last week in Timonee. We're going to be up there on the 15th of December. And we're going to be at Fadley's to end the year on December 28th. So the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is going everywhere, but it's starting here in Dundalk. Paul Satterfield is the principal. That's an AL, not LE. That's the like different kind of principal. At Dundalk High School, my alma mater. I am a proud Dundalk High Hall of Famer. I will sing the Dundalk High alma mater before this is over. Stan, you don't have to get involved. Yeah, Stan Jablonski is my high school friend. Stan has traveled the world, lives in Chicago. His mother's here in Dundalk. He takes care of her and comes back. Does not bring me Pequod's pizza. Which,
ooh, making me hungry now.
I thought you loved me. If you loved me, yeah, you would have brought me Pico. I got you a crab cake at Costas.
I know. I owe you one for sure.
So Stan's dad was a 30-year science teacher. Was it biology? Was
biology and chemistry.
Yeah. So I had George Shulin come by and educate Luke and I about the periodic table of elements and M equals, what is it? I don't know. You took the class. Something squared.
Well, E equals MC squared.
Yeah, that's, yeah. George, what?
Physics, though.
Yeah, I didn't, come on now. I went to Dundalk High. I was,
yeah, nobody confused either one of us for
you
Einstein.
You weren't the principal. You weren't hard charger back then. But George B. Dash let me get in and out of there with, you know, the music appreciation program. Would you like to hear some music? Go. Yes, yeah. I'd appreciate that. And, you know, and next thing you know, we're crossing pomp and circumstance at Dundalk Community College. Paul Satterfield's been the principal at Dundalk High for 3 years. I've been trying to get you on. Man, we had a plague. When did the new school open? Because, like, I was inducted in the Hall of Fame, I guess it was 17. It was 17.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago, I believe.
It's That's been right 10 years.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
It feels like 10 minutes, man.
Yeah.
Now, so you're the principal there. You don't have any you never walked in the old building?
No, I've been in the old building, yeah, for different meetings. And just I've been.
So you've been in Baltimore County for a long
years,
time.
Yeah. And I actually worked at Hollabird 20 years ago when my son was born. And
was Calvin Statham there then?
No,
he was already gone by then.
He was
okay,
gone by then. So, yeah, I worked there and then bounced around different parts of the county, and then was able to come back.
What was your original? Were you a math teacher, social studies teacher? What were you?
Special education, social studies.
Okay, yeah. All right. So, but you were always on a track to be a principal, or no?
I wouldn't say always, but yeah, I definitely wanted to do some leadership kind of things. So, I was an AP for a long time, about 17, 18 years.
Oh, so okay.
So, very schools. I was at Kenwood to start, so just across.
Well, you traded up right off,
yep,
there. I'll tell you that right now.
Kenwood, Eastern
Tech,
across
that bridge,
then,
you know,
Parkville, and then I came out here.
Man, you've been all Eastern Baltimore County.
There you go.
So you've seen some changes, right?
Yeah, it's tremendous change.
Yeah, over a couple of decades. So you come into this. The Dundalk job is not, you know, it's too big, too new. You know what this is about, but tell me the benefits of a new school from some, and your dad would be the, and your mom as well, both teachers, the benefits of, if Mr. J would come back right now, his pop, and teach biology and chemistry at the new Dundalk High School, how much different that would be than those old black things we had there, and the bottles and the smells that came out of the chemistry department.
I bet. I mean, it's got to be the space. You know, everything's like open, lots of windows, lots of light. The technology is all there. You know, you can connect your computer to the screens and project everything.
I just can't get over computers in school.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how I would handle that.
And the kids have computers, so they can, like, you know, connect and project student work up to that kind of thing. It's pretty
telling my kid who lives in Dundalk, lives here in Colgate, if he ever had grandkids, I said, where would I even begin with a child to educate? I'd start with a pencil and a pen, and they'd look at me like I'm a Martian, right?
Yeah. No, you're not kidding. I mean, I don't even know what I'm doing. I mean, when I was teaching, it was just transparency and that kind of thing.
Right, but you've seen this change.
I've seen it change. I haven't actually taught under that. You know, I've been as an administrator. So, it's just a tremendous amount of change in a short period of time.
And how does education cope with that? On a broader scale?
You know, I think it has to be a balance. You know, you have all these lights and whistles, and it's different modes of presentation, but you still have to have that personal connection, you know, between students and teachers. So you're here sitting talking about all the people you knew and other people who made difference in your life. It's the same now. Like,
teachers
who make connections, they're the ones who are able to teach. You know, it doesn't matter what the technology is.
This whole thing from, you know,
else.
Don Moeller, who was the AP, he was a guidance counselor, 1982, and his role in helping me formulate thoughts for Baltimore Positive. But, I mean, I ran into Nancy Grasmick last week, right? I mean, Nancy, you know, like, Nancy's done education all of her life. The center at Towson University is named after her. And she grabbed me, pulled me up, and she said to me, "You stand for integrity in a community. You haven't you, you." And I'm like, whoa, like, that's something to say to a Dundalk High grad. Like, that the journalism, the background, Don Leifert, Susan Monday, Joyce Bucci, these are names of people who were colleagues of Stan and I being close friends for 30 years. All these years, he's never lived here. I mean, and I only see him at Squire's Pizza John's or Costas or in Chicago with his family, picks me up at the airport or whatever. But you have these relationships with people. But the teachers, whether it was George Shulman coming back recently, we lost Dave Fantasi, Mr. Statham, and when Mr. Statham came, people drove from all over the state to Drug City that day just to be in the room with him because he taught them in 1979. Mm-hmm. And the stories that teachers have of this, I worry about the vocation, you know, for what what compensation would look like. And Stan's parents making a life here in Dundalk, making a life as a teacher and trying to recruit and keep good teachers because, I mean, it's the foundation of everything I'm about. Absolutely. Period. Having great teachers. And at Colgate Elementary. I had great teachers at Colgate Elementary, too.
Yeah. It's crucial. You know, you just need that for the country, for the community here in general. Like, education is so important. You know, we're not going to be able to move forward as a nation if we don't provide that.
Well, for you, in getting teachers at Dundalk High and seeing you were once in that pool of being a teacher, what are you finding from young people? Because I think people that have been through the plague, people that have been through all of this, we're just... I don't know, like, if I find a 25-year-old person that's a first-year, second-year teacher, and my roommate was a teacher at Stricker in the late 80s. I lived on Kane Street. My friend Jim Stein was from IUP. He was a Pittsburgh kid, went to IUP, and he was teaching, you know, sixth grade special ed at Stricker in the late 80s. And I think he got spit out. He didn't stay in the profession. Yeah. And, you know, Don's daughter, Jen Lynch, in the profession, very involved in it. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, teachers associations as well. Cheryl Boast has been on the program many times. Just talking about the recruitment of people from other states to come here and how Howard County would compete with Baltimore County. And Baltimore City, we've talked so much. I had Sonia Santelises on at length just trying to talk about getting our best people, Mr. Jablonski, Mrs. Jablonski, his parents, to dedicate a life, yourself, to this craft. And you sit here and say you've been doing this for 3 decades. It's it's your life's work, but you want to see it.
Absolutely.
As a journalist, it's over for me. You come to me and tell me that Sophie wants to be a journalist and say, don't do that. There's no profession. Be like me telling you I want to be a steel worker at Bethlehem Steel.
Yeah.
Like, literally, teaching's not that way. We're always going to have teachers here, but it's how they're treated, how they feel about it, how the school is, you know, I mean.
Right, yeah, there's all kinds of factors, you know, and with safety concerns in society and all those kind of things, people need to be able to trust to send their kids to school.
No doubt.
It's a safe place and a place where they'll get what they need out of it. So it's something we all share responsibility for. You know, my fear is that 20, 30 years from now, that it'll all be online. You know, we did that through the plague, through COVID, and it wasn't good for kids. But you see more and more kids are trying to opt out. Or
what do you see in that? Because, I mean, you are seeing children coming into your school year now. You're 3 months into another calendar year. So if you're a ninth grader, you're 14 years old, you were 10 years old when mom and dad put a mask on you for 2.5 years. Yeah. You didn't go to school for that period of time. I guess you were in fifth, sixth, seventh grade.
Yeah,
I mean, you are really at that. I mean, I saw these reports. Fox 45 is always doing some smear job on a city and their curriculum and this and that.
Right.
But I look at this and say, what does it look like in your school? I don't know if, dare we say, lower our standards, but are ninth graders doing things differently than ninth graders were 10 years ago?
I think so. It's a struggle for them. You know, that time they missed really hurt some of their development academically, socially, those kind of things. It definitely is different. You know, we have an increase in class cuts or students not attending school. Although we improved much from last year, we increased our attendance rate, I think like 8% over the course from previous years. So we're making gains, but it was a struggle.
Getting kids to school, that was trouble.
I mean, his father
walked into school and couldn't get his ass out of bed.
Yeah. Right. But you know what it's like if you're homesick and you're a 4-day weekend or something like that. It's hard to get up and go to school the next day. It's hard to get up and go to work the next day. So if you miss a year, 2 years during this COVID time, you didn't have to. It takes a while.
I wasn't a great student. I mean, you know,
I wasn't either.
I was one of those guys. You know, Nestor doesn't apply himself. You know, like you know, I'd bring home the midterm reports. My parents were old school. My parents were born in 1919, so my parents would call them deficiencies. And I'm like, it's just a midterm report. It's not even bad. It was like pass fail or whatever. But like my parents were sticklers about grades and stuff, and I often didn't measure up to what I could have done right at that point in my life because there were distractions everywhere. I can't imagine, Stan, you can speak to this. When we were kids, we were of the era, and you might be younger than us. I'm 55, he's older than me, but like I guess our era for all of us is growing up. When calculators came, there was just this built-in thing that you could cheat, right? Like, you know, on a math quiz, right? I mean, just in general, did you need to know your times tables? Now, I had Miss Johnson, like, you know, it was almost like I went to, like, a Catholic school. I mean, she was, like, on me with the ruler about 3 times 3 is 9 and 12 times 12 is 144. Like, we did our times tables through 24 in sixth grade at Colgate because she was just, like, a maniac. She was not a curriculum teacher. She was not cut out for Greenwood.
She was like, this is what
you need, and we're gonna make it happen. She was a serious lady. So I was always prepared in that way. But I often think, like, when you can look things up, when you could buy term papers on the black market in 1984, right? Like, you know, getting away with things. I was in my chiropractor the other night, Dr. Steve, and his wife, Allison, reads 15 books a month. I mean, she's like a crazy reader. And we were talking about reading Grapes of Wrath and East of Eden and which ones we really read, Moby Dick, and which ones we just got the Cliff Notes to, right? All we had to cheat in 1984 was Cliff Notes, right? Like, these crazy things. I can't imagine take home a book and read it, do a book report, all these things where the internet, AI, God, AI, this is new for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking to myself, short-cutting and short-circuiting and my devious Dundalk mind's at work here of like how I could be a 15-year-old again. But, I mean, there are very few barriers for someone our age to raise young people in an environment of education. I just think it's tough.
It is
and that's
really
one of the
tough
reasons I brought you on is to say, how is it different? What are these challenges? And all I see when I go to Dundalk is this beautiful school that looks like a museum that Stan and I are going to get to tour one day, you know?
Yeah. It's good stuff. I mean, we got lots of things going on. It's I guess making things relevant to kids and seeing where they are, something that it's concrete where they see how they can benefit from it.
Why is this going to help me?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you even talked about that when you were in school, you know, somebody giving you a purpose or saying, hey, what direction, sitting down, what direction do you want to go in life? You know, that kind of thing, just try to steer you. So taking that time to make a personal connection, identify what somebody's talents and skills and interests are. That's the thing. And then how do you take the curriculum that we have and make some kind of connection to those. You know, that's where the secret to the success really is.
See, when Stan and I went there, we had a radio station, and Tom Pless is still on all the time. I did not get my start there, but Mike Brillhart and I did text each other this morning.
Sure.
And he's made a life with Derek Noyes, all those guys. But we had, like, the drafting department down there. We had we had the Gifted and Talented program at Dundalk High. I've talked at length about that, that it was like a, you know, a seed school. Kids would come in from Perry Hall, Lock Raven, Parkville, Chase, Essex. It was a magnet to come down to Dundalk High. Now, we're going back 40 years to that. Does Dundalk have a specialty? Because Patapsco has like a whole arts thing, right? Like
they're
a specialty thing, right?
Yeah, we don't have magnets. We have internal magnets. We don't bring students from outside for our magnet programs. But we basically have...
Every kid that goes to Dundalk High is in Dundalk these days?
Except for we do have an ESOL program. So students who are... in the local high schools who don't have ESOL programs, English as a second language, they do.
I'm familiar with that. My brother was born here and went to Venezuela. My brother came back and was a part of the ESOL program at Essex Community College as an adult, as a young adult, many years ago. But I'm so important. Right. I mean, especially you know, he's in Chicago. I'll tell you, speaking Spanish and, you know, how important that is, and not just Spanish. But when they opened Colgate Elementary, which is another thing you should see. Now, Dundalk Elementary's been completely redone too.
Oh yeah, it's a brand new school. It's nice.
You been in?
No.
I parked my car there at the Heritage Fair this summer, and I'm like, oh my God, they did Dundalk Elementary too. Colgate opened about 2.5-3 years ago during the plague. And I sat here many times with Johnny O, giving him a hard time about when he opened it and when it, you know, when we gonna get Colgate open. And I went there, and very much like Dundalk, it made me cry. There were pictures up of kids I knew. And sort of, it's a museum. It honors the history of Colgate Elementary. But I went through there and I looked, and everyone there looked like me. And in 1978, I assure you, there were four Hispanic kids, three in one family and me. The Flores family on Eastdale Road, whose father was Colombian, Mr. Luis from Colombia, and me. We were the only Hispanic people there were. And the principal of Colgate, and her name escapes me, she's a lovely lady, she said to me at the time, it's a big number, 61-63% of their children are Hispanic heritage and parents' first language Spanish, and in many cases, parents who don't speak English.
Right.
So that's a whole different thing. And that's something that Dundalk, I promise you, was not an issue for Miss Johnson at Colgate Elementary in 1979. We have a different population here. He and I talk so much about the point and this big exhibit down at the Museum of Industry honoring Bethlehem Steel and really honoring Dundalk and honoring our workforce here all those years. It's changed who we are, who Dundalk is. Changed, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're at 45% Hispanic at Dundalk High School.
Really? So, my people?
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Man, I'm telling you. Listen, you don't know this, but I should tell, it's kind of dangerous that I tell you, because I just told the LLS people that my ego's small and all that, but like, I always thought, like, if I had to give a graduation speech at Dundalk High, that would be something. You know, if I ever had to write a graduation speech, what I've learned since night. What have you learned since 85? Do you have to go back and give us, because you were doing pretty good when we were talking about you traveling the world, Stan Jablonski, but what would you, if he said to you, you come give the speech, you've been all over the world, what would you tell these kids?
I don't know. Get comfortable for her. It could take a while to go over everything, but, you know, one thing I was going to mention about the online, though, is, you know, one of my daughters is a first-year, second-grade teacher, and, you know, that interaction with kids and that social interaction, I don't think that'll ever go away, and I think it's critically important, and especially for the younger kids. But
absolutely.
But even
yeah, 7-year old kids learning online at home, that's not normal, dude. That's not normal.
No, not at all. It doesn't serve you well later in life. You have to be able to communicate and work with other people.
What do you see from people who have these challenges at your school? I mean, we've just gone through isolation, but you're also talking cultural differences with Hispanic folks. I know I'm one of them, and I'm the child of a broken family there were a lot of problems in my family just because half of it was Venezuelan and half of it was gringo East Baltimore. And, like, that was just there were communication synapses, you know, just in general, and that was in the 70s. But I would say for you, with kids being sheltered, stuck at home, trying to learn online, maybe having language barriers in the case of this community specifically, what do you see from things that could be overcome, but things that are challenges right now for a 13, 14, 15-year-old child?
Right. Definitely like problem solving, those kind of things, if peer conflicts, how to work your way through that without escalating to something else, or having just withdrawing, being like, it's too much for me, I'm just going to withdraw from and be to myself, and stick to my cell phone, those kind of things, because they miss some of that social interaction.
I guess a cell phone gives you a whole world.
Yeah, like different. They can just dive into
world,
it.
A world you can disappear. We all disappear into our phones, let's be honest.
Right. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're in a meeting or if I sat here and started reading, I'd miss whatever you were saying and everything else going on, So if you're doing that in a class, you're missing things. But it is. It's an easy escape to avoid, social pressures or, the work it takes to develop relationships or work through problems. Those are certainly concerns. I'd say with the language barrier, you remember being in high school, like what I could get over on my parents, I'd get over on it, right?
Right,
so,
sure.
Like, if I'm speaking Spanish.
I drank beer in high school. I'm going to admit this to the Dundalk Hyper. As a Dundalk Hall of Famer, I will admit this. But,
I'm going to plead the fifth on stuff on the radio here.
We chose wrong. We made some wrong decisions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
Stan and I made wrong decisions
together,
as I remember.
I even made wrong decisions as an older person. But, you're trying to get any teen does. So with the language barrier, that can really be taken advantage of if the parents don't speak English, but the student does speak, English and Spanish. They can take advantage of a whole lot more. I'm like, hey, Mom, guess what? This happened. And, they called and told you this.
So you have translators on site time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, every time I can hire a Spanish-speaking teacher, I do, yeah. And so, and a couple of my administrators speak Spanish as well. So,
what,
I wish I did.
Brag on your staff a little bit, because I did ask you about the workforce and what you're finding. And, if I were to die an hour from now and you were to say, name the 50 people in your life that really shaped your life, my God, 35 of them would be teachers, and a lot of them would come from Dundalk or would come from Dundalk Community College. I mean, one of my partners in the business is a Dundalk Community College professor of mine from 1985. So, teachers have always held a special place in my world. I hope that they still do, and I know they do for my son as well. And I think the people I know who are teachers feel that. Luke Jones, who's my employee, my reporter, was a fifth grade school teacher. I took him out of the teaching profession to do this lousy journalism thing where he gets to go out to Owings Mills, get treated poorly. but, he comes from that background as well, and he always tells me how, and he's been out of it 15 years, but he lives in Shrewsbury, so he taught kids kind of sort of in that community, and now he's like out at a bar. And, a kid will come up because it's been that long. And these kids are 24, 25 years old. And they call him Mr. Jones. And you know what I mean? And that there is something to that I guess secretly I wish I were a teacher at one point. You know what I mean? I always thought it would be cool. My dad always wanted to be a teacher,
Yeah. There's nothing better than in a lot of ways. As stressful as it is and sometimes not compensated as well, although that's improved over the years. Cost of living, though, with everybody is a
challenge
throughout this country.
Just when your old man got out of it, they start paying them right.
Yeah, exactly. Our staff is just fantastic. I mean, their hearts and their ability to work with kids through traumatic situations, through, a lot of kids out here are struggling. A lot of adults out here are struggling, The country has a lot of issues economically, socially. There's a lot going on. So kids are hurting, and they need adults in their life to care and work through them. There's kids who miss school for, parent has cancer or a parent can't take care of one of their children because they're both working, that kind of thing. And we'll have kids who come in late, so trying to really be there for them, not just as a support, but allowing them to make up work out after time or staying with them after school where they can get the learning they need. Just all kinds of things that I think that people are just really willing and open to provide whatever's needed to help kids, make it.
You're familiar with that, right?
Oh, yeah. So. Well, I was thinking even, you look at the influence from our high school, and I was a son of a science teacher, and I loved science and was motivated by it and developed relationships. I remember Mr. Hunt, he was another chemistry teacher back in the day, and, he was an American Indian, and he had these canoeing trips, and we used to do canoeing trips with him as well, and,
That whole science department, dude, was, Mr. Urbaker,
Mr. Hall, and there was a great group of guys, and, it motivated you as a kid. And you know, it happened with you, I'm sure, with, you know, with your writing and the English.
Oh,
and
man,
the...
Don Leifert was one of the great influences of my life. And we shared a friendship with Don Mueller. We lost Don Leifert about 15 years ago. Don was an actor. Don was a movie. He'd been in movies. He fought in Vietnam. Wow. Don, you know, loved baseball, loved the Orioles. Went to an Oriole game with Don. Loved Steely Dan. But, like, you know, all these years later, he was the first journalism teacher I had, first class. He told me I could be something, that I could be a journalist, and here I am all these years later. You know, I had people believe in me there. You know, just like all the way through, whether it was I love telling – I've told this story, but since you're the principal at Dundalk High, I'll tell you this story. So, old Dundalk High, I meet Stan in summer of 82, and this is how I met Don Mueller. My working form came, my little Delvale Avenue letter came, my parents, and it had my marching orders for 10th grade. I went to 9th grade at Holabird. At Holabird, the day that you picked electives, it was a blue form from the county, and it said, you're going to Dundalk High, pick the classes, speech, biology, what track you're going to be on. This is 1982, right? I circled journalism because that's all I ever really wanted to be. I was a kid. And that day, Melissa Bating's father, a guy named Marty Bating, was our substitute teacher. He was just a sub teacher. We had spitballs, paper football, the whole deal. You're of the era. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. So Mr. Bating was there that day. He said, journalism? He's like, I work at the paper. I can get you a job. I'm 13, 14, you know, whatever. I'm like, Mr. Bating, I want to be a sports writer like John Steadman. I read the News American every day. I'll get you a job, son. So I fill my form out. The paper comes in August. No journalism for me. They put me in some art appreciation or something. My parents put me in my brother's Malibu. We went down Delvale Avenue, 11 o'clock in the morning. School's not in session. It's August. My father marches in. I want to see somebody, you know. My boy's going to be in the newspaper. He's a journalist. So my dad takes me down, and Don Mueller's the guy there. He's the front. He's the gatekeeper. We're going to let me see what I can do. You know, Don, I want to see what you can do. So he puts me in, and I needed a typewriting class. So Don reworks my whole schedule before he knows me. This is 1982. And puts me into a typewriting class and into first period. Journalism was first period. Don Mueller's class. Or Don Leifert's class. So I get into typewriting class, and I get in, and I want to learn how to type. Right? Problem is, you can count my fingers, and I don't have 10. I only got 9, and I'm missing, you know, this was my Colgate Elementary pig trick here, scare the girls away. So I'm missing a pretty key finger for the T and the Y, and, you know, like, and Mr. Polanis came and put a sheet of paper over my hands. This is when you had ribbon. You made a mistake. You had to go.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and this wasn't. This was old school. He put the white paper, ditto paper, over my hands so I couldn't see my fingers. And I didn't cry, but it was close. I mean, if Lisa Diemer weren't in the class, I would have cried. But I went back down to the office. Mr. Mueller, you got to get me out of this class. I can't type. Look at my finger. So he says, look, man, I got you in this class. We'll figure it out for you. Come on, we're going to figure it out. Only thing I can put you in is horticulture. I had Eve Lawless's horticulture class for a semester, and I learned how photosynthesis worked. This helped me at the cannabis facility. I'm not going to lie to you. But growing plants, I learned. And all these years later, my wife plants things, and she's like amazed, and I know nothing about biology. I know nothing about chemistry. God knows I know nothing about physics. We've already proven that. But I did learn how to grow a plant. So I learned all of these. But the journalism part of my journey and being there at Dundalk and having a newspaper that we put out at Junior Press. We went down to Minuteman Press on Merritt Boulevard. I was in charge of laying it out. Then I got a job at the paper. And I was encouraged. Don Mueller told me that I was going to be the next Chris Thomas. So there was this encouragement from these teachers who... it was an unlimited amount of encouragement that I felt, that I hope that every child in your school can feel.
I hope so. That's our goal.
Well, I loved my high school experience. I did. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I proudly wear this shirt. Good. Now, do you still make the kids sing the alma mater?
No, those days have been passed for a while.
Oh, good. You'll make me feel better because he's going to sing it. I don't remember it. So.
Yeah, no. We do still have the horticulture program, though. And even with the new addition that we're going to have put on, as big as we are, we're getting another addition another year. They're going to add the horticulture back in again, or the greenhouse back
in. What else do you have there? That's
Project Lead the Way.
You don't have a radio station anymore, right?
No, but we have morning announcements on video. So we have a whole video room. And that Chris Wojcik, I think he was one of the teachers I was going to try to bring out sometime. So if you come out again, we'll definitely have.
Do you remember our morning announcements? Do you remember anything specific about our morning announcements?
No.
So Mr. Dausch, GPD3, we just lost Mr. Dausch. He would come on in the morning and have his, and he had a very pronounced voice. He spoke like this. He was a very, very educated man, George P. Dausch. He would laugh at my. He would be chuckling at my making fun of him. But he would every morning we would have me or Ingrid Kolstad or Rula. Somebody was doing a morning announcements, and so it was always like a, I was practicing to do all this. He would take the mic, and it was always one of those little things with a little thing on it, and he would talk into it. And we're in the office. It had to be all official because it was the principal's place. You don't look like a principal, man. You look too cool to be principal, but nonetheless. So he would hit the thing, and he would say, good morning, and have a better day. So if you want
to get a tagline like
that. Yeah, you need to come up with something like, ain't the beer cold, or like, a Chuck Thompson thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he said, good morning, and have a better day every day of my life. So you don't remember that?
No.
You didn't pay any attention in high school, did you, Jablonski?
Probably not.
See, his father, he was on scholarship. His old man, he knew he couldn't get kicked out. His old man taught there.
Exactly.
I was a tenured student.
There you go.
Stan Jablonski's my high school friend. Paul Satterfield is the great principal at Dundalk High School, where I am a Hall of Famer. So I went down in 17 when my mother died. I cried. I gave a really awful speech that should have been better. I didn't sing the alma mater because I got all verklempt, and I didn't do any of that. My name is in the Hall of Fame there, and I've never seen it. Because it wasn't
there to do it.
Yeah, so I got to come down and see the school again. I want to do it for some good purpose. Okay. So, when we're doing something charitably or community, or when we're kicking Patapsco's ass, whatever, when we're doing something important. Yeah. Now, the other night we were playing football, and that's one thing that gets to me. Stan, you live out in Chicago, and I know you're on Twitter and you have Dundalk friends. Anytime Dundalk's football program, and you should be. I mean, you're a football alum. You played on the team. Didn't play on the team.
The team has been doing great, man. They've they've had some really good teams the last several years.
State championship. Back when my wife was fighting in 15, in November, around this time, November 15, my wife was really, really sick. And we lived two blocks from the football stadium downtown. And my wife had just gotten out after a second transplant. She needed help. I was her caregiver, and she really needed care. But she's like, I'm okay for a couple hours. You can walk over to the game. So I walked over to the game that night. We got our butts kicked by Damascus. It was the Jake Funk, 12 touchdowns, 400 yards from scrimmage. He plays in the NFL. He's playing for the Raiders. So he was on that team that night. But my wife and I went down to Annapolis when we lost to Mervo. Mm-hmm. You were the principal there, right then?
No, I came.
You came right after.
I arrived in January after that.
Okay, yes, I lost them. Bet with Brandon Scott,
we were up too.
Right? God, I was ish talking him on text at halftime. I'm like, you get together for the victory photo after the game. Then things went sour. The other night, I was home and someone on my timeline, because I got 800 people on my timeline from Dundalk, right? Somebody said, did anybody get a Dundalk score? And I went to Twitter and I saw that we were sadly eliminated.
We got knocked out.
What would you tell him about the Dundalk football program, being that he's an alum, played there? I wrote about the team back in the 80s. We were not a football school. We were a good basketball school. We were a great baseball school. Our baseball team won the state championship in 83. We were a really good baseball school. And we were always a 3A, not a 4A, not a bigger, we didn't have the highest population, so we didn't play like Perry Hall. There were a couple schools that were a lot bigger than us, but we were in that next tier down. But our basketball team fought with Randallstown and Woodlawn for dominance. Our baseball team, I don't want to say we didn't have a peer in the county, but we're a really good baseball team. Mm-hmm. But in the modern era, since the Ravens came here,
yeah,
we're a football school, right?
Yeah,
we're
football a really good is football school. Dominant. Yeah, it was always strong, always competitive, brings out lots of crowds. But you know, baseball's still strong. And even with changing population, we talked about earlier, like, you know, we have a lot of Hispanic students who are playing baseball and things like that. So baseball's and soccer too. We won the regional championship this year.
Boys
soccer, sure did.
All right.
And another team that was like, you know, a variety of countries represented, and obviously Dundalk, you know, born and bred in Dundalk as well. So really, you know, heterogeneous group. It's really like positive. Made a lot of gains. I think we're really going to continue to get better in that regard. And we're going to be a powerhouse in soccer in the coming years.
So Stan, I got to ask you this. Tell him about your background in biology and your old man. You went to marine biology school, right? Wilmington, correct?
I did. I went to North Carolina Wilmington. Got a bachelor's degree in chemistry. So.
In your life, have you seen an owl, a real owl, in the live, in the woods, at the zoo? Have you seen an owl in your life?
At the zoo, I have.
At the zoo.
The wild, they're hard to find, man.
Okay. I've seen one owl in my life, like in the wild.
In the wild?
In the wild. Mm-hmm. I was driving on 795. I was going to Ravens practice one day. It was snowing lightly, so the trees were white. And I was on the on-ramp by the mall. And I looked up, and there was an owl. And I saw an owl in the snow, and it was the damnedest thing. Because I'd never seen one. I've never seen one since. I had never seen an eagle in my life until I went to Montana in 1994. And then I went back to Yellowstone about 6 years ago with my wife. We saw a couple of bald eagles. Now I have seen dozens upon dozens of bald eagles because we see them at the Conowingo.
Yeah, like, they're hard to miss. They're huge.
The eagles were nesting behind McFall's Iron Horse Tavern right on Cromwell Bridge Road. There were dozens of them nesting for weeks last February along the riverway. Juveniles, dozens of them. It was the most, I mean, my whole life I hadn't seen one. So I've only seen one owl in my life. My wife and I moved out by my radio station up above the Loch Raven Reservoir, right? So we moved out there, and my wife is in love with nature because we live downtown. She wanted to have a grill outside, wanted to feed animals, have birds, all that. So we have all of that where we live. My wife downloads the app that checks out plants when she's out to identify plants. Then she downloaded the thing that can tell you what bird's flying.
In the air?
Wow. No, when you hear the bird.
Oh, by the call.
That's a cardinal, you know? You know, that's a finch, whatever it is, right? So she has the app on the thing. And last year, we've been living out in the woods for 5 months. And she hears something. And she's like, well, stop. Shh. Go to the window. She holds the thing up, hits the thing. And I hear, whoo, whoo, great horned owl.
Awesome.
Great horn. So we're in the darkness. A couple weeks ago, about a month ago, I got one. The windows were open. It was the right time of the year. And it was real close. And then we got two back and forth, okay? So I don't know anything about owls. I'm a Dundalk Owl Hall of Famer. I'm going to sing the alma mater. And I don't know anything about owls. I always thought, no offense, they were kind of like sissy birds. You know what I mean? Like they were the smart birds, and we always a cartoon with like, right. A monocle, or you know what I mean, or like a wisdom hat or a graduation cap on an owl, and all of our stuff all of our alumni stuff is owl. What is this? Is there an owl on here?
Yeah,
got one. It's flying.
He looks a little ferocious. This owl, right? Mm-hmm. Like so, this owl's ferocious. So I've seen one owl, I've heard a couple in the wild, and then my wife always says, dude, they're the most ferocious, nastiest. They fly without sound. I don't know what's the word for that? When they attack, you can't hear them. Another creature can't hear them. So they kill upon sight. They're nasty. Owls are nasty. Yeah. I didn't know that. Did you know that growing up?
Yeah, they're very quiet. They're nocturnal, but yeah, they're very quiet. Yeah, they kind of glide. They glide down.
Right.
And,
yeah, I didn't know how.
I think they're.
Yeah. I would always think we're not like the falcons or the eagles or these other, you know, birds. Owls are cool.
Yeah, I don't think they mess around. They're not like soaring up.
You should teach your students that.
Boom.
No, I didn't know how cool it was to be an Al. Not that I ever wanted to be a Patriot or a Pointer or a Clipper or my son's a Perry Hall Gator. You know, no, but I thought Owls were sissy birds. I didn't know that they were ferocious. Good. I want everybody to know that. So this song that was is the alma mater. Good. Do you need me to come and teach the kids?
Might. I don't know. You'll have to. I mean, the band plays it at graduation every year. We do that.
They do? Mm-hmm. So the band knows
it. Yeah, the band.
So it is a part of. Then why would? So Mr. Miller was my. We had a thing called jazz band, jazz rock band. Another thing I transferred into because I didn't want to go to real school. Yeah. Back in the day, I don't want to tell you. Kurt Schilling's wife, Shonda Schilling, and you can think what you want about Kurt, whatever. I do too. But Shonda was one of my best friends growing up in high school. She married Kurt Schilling. She was my ride to school every day, and I just got to tell you this because you're the principal. We didn't make it the first period a lot of times. And we stopped at Burger King. Chris Sandwiches on Merritt Boulevard. I just want to, like a priest, I want to tell you 40 years later I didn't do the right thing. But whenever I was in school, which was 99% of the time, I'm going to tell you this, that I was truant because I wasn't. I did not get an A in journalism, but I got, I'm doing okay in life. So Mr. Miller was a stickler about this. So anytime, and Stan wasn't paying attention, but anytime there was an assembly, anytime there was a gathering of the 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, anytime there was something in the auditorium at all, he would make everybody sing it. It was a part of so there were 10 times a year where even if you didn't know how to sing it, even if you just wanted to make fun of it like Stan did, people around you were singing it. So it will sound familiar to Stan when I sing it, but... You don't know. So if I say to you, let each fellow join our chorus.
Oh, yeah.
You would say.
I have no idea.
Echo far and near.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So you going to do it?
Yeah. I do it all the time. I didn't do it when I was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So I really felt because I was crying. It was a mess. My mother died. My cat died. It was a bad day. And it wasn't like being at the real high school. And you're going to see that when you go to the real high school. But I can't believe you don't know. Like, we have a proud alma mater. Everybody in the school, 1,500 kids at the time, all were subjected to it a million times. I know why everybody else hated it, but I learned it. John Allen's in a band, and he didn't know it.
I don't know.
Zukowski's in a band and refused to sing it with me.
I don't know. The only song I keep I went to Purdue for grad school, and I keep remembering Hail to the Old Golden Black, so that's a different song.
Do you
song,
know that one?
Oh, yeah.
Is that their fight one in football?
Hail to Old Purdue.
See? Okay. So this is, let each fellow join our chorus, echo far and near. We will ever sing in triumph, and we'll always cheer. March on Dundalk, march right onward till we reach our post. And a cheer from each good fellow means we have not lost. So there.
Very nice. That's good.
Hey, all right.
Yeah.
Is that good?
It was good. But you know what it sounds like is that song from Dirty Dancing.
It's the same tune?
Yeah, it sounds very really? Similar.
Well, Maryland, Maryland's old Christmas tree.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll do the second verse in the next segment. Paul Satterfield is the principal at Dundalk High. He gives it up for the kids, takes care of the teachers, tries to keep the parents satisfied whenever possible, right? And the community as well. And this is still a really bonded community, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, good. Let's
all
stick
together.
It's a
good place to be.
Teach people the alma mater. I'll do the second verse when I come. Chuck, you want to sing the alma mater with me? Chuck's here from Drug City. Look at this.
Yeah, you got to do your thing. I heard you singing. I had to walk over.
All right. Was I on key?
You were great.
All right, thank you.
Fantastic.
Do I make it to Hollywood? No, I'm sorry. Stan Jablonski's my high school buddy. He is here taking care of mom and eating pizza with me, eating crab cakes with me. I didn't tell Maggie to bring me a crab cake, so this is the only crab cake tour stop. We didn't actually have a crab cake, but I owe you one.
All right.
Good.
Sounds good.
Thank you for making
thanks,
time.
Sir.
Keep
appreciate
taking care of the school. Give Stan a tour.
Yeah,
and listen, anytime I've had a lot of people reach to me, like Stan, and you would agree to this, right? All of our people that we know love Dundalk and love Dundalk High. We're all proud of being from. I mean, I don't know anybody that hides their Dundalk that I know. That's my age of us. We're proud of being from here. And there have been so many people that have been in contact with me because I sing the song and goof off, and people will see this, that say, I got to get down there and see this new school. I ain't seen a new school yet. And you're one of those people.
I am.
And the night I was in there, I was so... It was just trippy. I don't know. You were putting me in the Hall of Fame. I was emotional. It was my mother wasn't. It was awful. But it was beautiful. But I want to go back and just like, this is where they teach science. This is where Mr. J's class would be. Look at this. What would your dad make of this? I think it's... It's going to blow your mind, dude. Like, it really will blow your mind if you go in there. And everybody knows this, and they reach to me, but they don't, in the modern era of high school, they don't dare walk in, right?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? In the old days, it's like, I want to see Mr. Stockett or Mr. J. You just walk in, Mr. J, hey, come on in. Hey, this was my old student. You know, like, I did that because I love my teachers. I always went back to school. I went back to my elementary school and back to my middle school when I was in high school. Like, I was a visitor because I love my teachers and I miss them. And I missed being in the hallways with them every day for a long, long time. I missed the structure of all of it. But, like, people can't do that now. You should do something where I bring some alums back because I think you'd be blown away if we did an alum night there to just come back and see the new school and gave it the right reason and had some crabs and costas or something afterward. I bet we get hundreds of people that want to go down there. And I think that that would help you for whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah, it'd be good for the community.
Make the football games better, whatever it is. Because there's a lot of people that say to me, hey, you began a new high school. And I'm like, well, when are we invited? When can we come, right? So that's my ask
of
you.
Can we make that happen? Yeah, I think we can do that.
All right. Paul Satterfield took some time. It took me a year and a half to get him over here. He is the principal of Dundalk High, where they do things, and they should be teaching the alma mater. Stan's doing things with me. Thanks for coming in, bro.
Yeah, it's always good.
Pinch hitting today. He didn't know. He didn't wake up knowing he's going to come on here and give me, was it M equals, was it?
Just jumped on.
MC squared.
What does that mean in English?
I don't know.
Is that relativity? It's one of those.
Yeah.
One of them. It's the Einstein thing, I think.
I don't have any hair, so I don't look like Einstein.
I thought you had a degree in this, dude. What did they teach you?
No, that's physics, you know. I was a chemistry undergrad, so.
You can look it up on AI now. You don't need to memorize it.
It's all Greek to me. Right? That's why I went to Yaya's for some corn and Beatty's the other day. All right, we're stepping out. We'll take a break. We had a winner here today. It was a $2 winner, but I brag about all winners. Maryland Lottery presents our tour. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Today it was fried shrimp, and what else did we get there? I had a Greek salad.
The Greek salad,
You know, the crab soup tour today. I did the crab soup today.
They have great crabs here. Their crab cakes are very good.
Have you had the crab imperial here?
I'm not a big crab imperial fan, but the crab cakes here are very good.
I like the crab imperial on the mushroom cap. That's what... And the secret weapon here, if I'm really being honest, it's the cream spinach. But don't tell anybody. Get the cream spinach. We're Costas, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I've given some of these away. We're going to be, let's see, Pappas Parkville next Tuesday. That's before Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, we're going on the road. We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday, the 29th. We are going to be at, top of my head, Gertrude's at the BMA on the 30th with Dan Rodericks for his show. Baltimore, You Have No Idea. That's almost sold out. I'm doing a big night on the 8th there. The 1st, we're going to be at Hollywood Casino in Perryville. We're going to have scratch-offs to give away from the Maryland Lottery everywhere we're going to be, including State Fair in Catonsville on the 5th, and Far and Daughter in Timonium on the 15th of December, and Fadley's on the 28th. That's our last show ever at the old Lex in the Market at Fadley's. They're moving into the new market in January. So we'll shed a tear. We'll have a crab cake or about a dozen of them. I'm Acosta. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, including our friends at Raskin Global with the cool crab claw and Jiffy Lube Multicare. From Dundalk to your community. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, signing off from Costas. Stay with us at WNST.